are Locked On Big 12, your daily podcast on the Big 12 Conference, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. You are Locked On Big 12, your daily podcast on the Big 12 Conference, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody. Josh Neighbors here for the Locked On Big 12 podcast. Joining me today, it is Jake Hatch of Locked On Cougars. Jake, this is attempt number two for us. We were stifled last time around. But for the new fans, just want to plug both shows. If you're a fan of the Big 12 and you want to find Locked On Cougars, Jake, where can they find that?
Really simple. Locked On Cougars on all the major social media platforms out there. Just search Locked On Cougars wherever you happen to listen to podcasts. And we're there for you Monday through Friday, every day, each week.
And then Locked On Big 12, for those of you who are new, it is at LO Big 12 on Twitter. You can find me at Josh Neighbors _. Locked On Big 12 is on YouTube as well as Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, all those places. Sign up everywhere because sometimes you can't watch the show, so you can just listen to it in the car, right? And sometimes you want to watch the show, and you can do it. So both directions there. And I was saying this before, but Jake, I have to thank you for a new follower, some new followers on both accounts, because Cougar Nation's pretty pumped to join the Big 12.
They are, and we'll get more, obviously, as we get closer and closer to BYU actually joining the conference. But the fact that they're officially a member as of last Friday, I think BYU fans are more than excited to officially have a conference home once again after a decade essentially wandering out there in the wilderness that is Independence.
They've done pretty well for themselves. I mean, I think you think about the independent schools, you know, I believe UMass is still independent. UConn is considering a move, you know, downwards. The academies, it can be a bit different, right? Just because of their, you know, their function as a school. Sometimes, you know, it's, you know, their independence is a bit easier for them just for scheduling purposes. But the idea I want to get into, because this conference is now comprised of teams that are, have chances to be heavy hitters at times, right? All the, you know, there's a lot of teams in this conference that have made runs into the top 10, but are not perennially top 10 teams. Cincinnati, BYU, Oklahoma State has had their moments in the sun. Kansas State, obviously, Baylor. And the thing I wanted to mention here is, like, these schools all across the country matter. And while BYU is not coming from a conference like the AAC, there is a part of me that feels guilty about, you know, taking UCF and Houston and Cincinnati, because in a way it feels like you're robbing Peter to pay Paul, right? All of these people are college football fans. All of their teams matter. Your team matters. People want to tell you your team does not matter with the conference realignment and whatnot. Your team matters. So in a way, I'm happy the conference is surviving. But now more I think about it, BYU is obviously an exception because they're independent. So they're really not hurting anybody in that situation. But it does feel like it's sad the Big 12 has to do this. I'm glad they did. But I do feel bad for other schools at, you know, not say the lower level, but in the AAC and other conferences that still might get rated, because this feels like the second domino of many more that we'll see.
Yeah, this is going to cascade downwards. We all know that there's a domino effect here, because now the American is going to have to make a move to solidify themselves. Does that affect the Mountain West? Does it affect Conference USA? Does it affect the Sun Belt? Do those other conferences decide, you know what, we're going to be preemptive and we're going to strike first? There is going to be effects all the way around. I'm with you. The Big 12 did need to do something, obviously, to solidify themselves. They felt like it was in their best interest to go from 8 to 12 rather than just adding two more, maybe going back to 10 teams. So you're right. Are they hurting the sport overall? In some degree, but they were making a move to make sure they solidified their future.
And their hands were forced. I mean, they didn't want to do this. They wanted to keep, you know, I said it last week, the optimal move was keeping Oklahoma and Texas. Now that's not possible. BYU is a school that for a long time, I mean, look, let's be honest, you know, they're not a Power 5 school before now, but their football is definitely at a P5 level. And so is their basketball, right? Their basketball has been as good tradition as well. And they were the first team that it sounds like the Big 12 targeted. Now, I think number one, location, number two, the backing, and three, also convenience. It's a bit easier to go for the independent than it is to go for the member schools, right?
Yeah, BYU, they can move football in next year if the Big 12 had, right, they wanted it. They were that available. And that's not to say that BYU did not have a good run in independence. They were very happy doing what they were doing. They had a very good deal with ESPN by and large, and they played a truly national schedule, went all over the country. But they have always dreamed, ever since Utah went to the Pac-12, their arch rival, and obviously TCU shortly thereafter, making the jump to the Big 12, BYU has craved one thing and one thing only, and that was to be a part of the Power Five. They've always wanted to be part of that exclusive group, and now that they're in, they're very excited to be there. And I know BYU fans will be looking forward to their first trips to Ames, to Lubbock, where insert Big 12 city here. They'll be looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think that's something that people are excited to for as well. On the other side of it, I think people are excited to go to Provo, and I'm sure they're excited to go to Orlando. Cincinnati, Houston, I don't mean to knock them. It's just, it's not, I mean, Cincinnati might come in with the best football program out of everybody. So, but the reaction, it's just been excitement, right? I mean, has there been much negativity? Like, I haven't seen any. I think it's just generally speaking, it's a lot of excitement.
By and large, it's been excitement. There have been a few people who brought up the question about saying, well, how do we know that the Big 12 is going to survive 5, 10, 15 years? You can never tell what's ultimately going to play out in this sport. There have also been some people who said that they actually enjoyed the fact that BYU had a national schedule. They played these independents. But the one thing that I think that most BYU fans come back to is that as an independent, it felt like after BYU suffered one or two losses, at that point, you're simply just trying to get to 6 wins and play whichever bowl game you happen to be playing in. I think many of them craved the conference race. They craved having games that mattered late in November, where if you win this game, what does it mean for the rest of the conference? What does it mean for your chances to win the conference you're in? That's, I think, what BYU fans craved overall, and they're very much looking forward to being part of that after a decade plus of not being a part.
Right. You go back to last season. This is an excellent point, that they were 11-1, mm-hmm, but they played in the Boca Raton Bowl, correct? Is that the game? Yeah.
Roofclaim.com Boca Raton Bowl.
Yes. Roofclaim.com. Yeah. And they played UCF, ironically enough. Mm-hmm. The conference affiliation is going to help you in that regard, right? I mean, it's just going to help you because now I know people are saying what's happening to the bowl games, whatever, but like you were talking about teams that are now more excited to play in bowl games. The 4 that are being added are going to be much more happy to play in a Texas Bowl, right? If they make it to an Alamo Bowl, right? If they're able to make it to a game like that, these teams are going to be pumped. They're going to be excited to be able to play those games because, 11-1 last year, but you're in the Boca Raton Bowl. Like that's not on December 22nd. It's not really that fair. So I think it's also to the point about the fans saying, I like the schedule and the future of the Big 12. I think also BYU is in a great spot because their brand is so strong that if things were to go south and they were pushed back to independence, they could make that work, right? They could make that transition back because they are a commodity. They are a national brand. And that is why in the beginning, the Big 12 went after them. I mean, the BYU for sure adds a monetary level. They add eyeballs to the sports. And that is, besides their programs being strong, eyeballs are what really matters. And BYU gets more eyeballs than I'd say a lot of the teams actually in the Big 12 conference right now.
Yeah. BYU has a truly national fan base. And a lot of it is due in part to the fact that they are affiliated and run by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, also known as the Mormon or LDS Church. That gives them a built-in group of people nationwide that whenever BYU travels to their region, they're going to show up. That's not to say that fans from the greater Provo area don't travel well. They do.
Right.
They take thousands of fans with them on the road, and that is going to be attractive to, I think, all members of the Big 12, whether the remaining 8 or the 3 other new additions alongside BYU. All of them understand what BYU brings to the table, and they're very much looking forward to having the Cougars put some butts in seats out there at their stadiums.
I went to Mizzou and BYU my freshman year of college in Kansas City.
Sure.
Excellent crowd. And I think, you might lose a little bit of that going to a conference, right? Obviously there's neutral site game, but I mean, the neutral site games are big. They're pretty big money endeavors. Now I still think they're going to do a few of those. I still think they'll, especially for travel. I don't know, I'm sure we'll get some BYU versus Texas Tech and Houston type situations, right? You might get maybe they play, you know, UCF and BYU play somewhere that's not one of the places, you know, the travel, or West Virginia, whatever it is.
Well, right? they've done the West Virginia thing. They played at FedEx Field there in Landover, Maryland.
That's right.
There are options for that. And BYU is not averse to playing in a neutral venue.
Yeah. Now, is there any concern? So I know the one thing that's going to be, you can explain this to me, but they don't play on Sundays. So I'm assuming for baseball, do they have a softball program?
They do have a softball program.
So those series will be Thursday to Saturday series, if I understand that correctly.
Yeah, so the NCAA has what they call the BYU rule. So anything NCAA championships that involves BYU, should they make it to a championship level, whether that's a softball national championship, baseball national championship, they've had this happen with the NCAA men's basketball and women's basketball tournaments. If they are in those tournaments, the format has to be changed to accommodate the fact that BYU will not play sports on Sunday. I know that there have been some things in the past where people said, well, that's not fair. I can't say it's fair or not.
Right,
it's just what the rule is.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's like, I'm fine with it. It can be an inconvenience at times. I think there was a big hullabaloo about it because of during the NCAA tournament this year, there was just so much happening with the way they got it scheduled, the way they got it done, the venues, right? So I think because of the scheduling tightrope that the NCAA was already walking and kind of people just being like, I think especially when VCU got knocked out, everybody was like, oh my God, like this still feels very fragile. If they tell you to play on Sunday, do it.
Sure.
And to me, I'm actually a fan of the baseball series or the softball series that starts on a Thursday. I like it when the conference has an option to watch on that Thursday night. So I'm cool with that.
And that's what's going to be the case. They've done this in all the conferences that they've been in, the WAC, the Mountain West, the West Coast conferences where all of their other sports were parked while football was in independent. And yeah, some of the series in the other sports for the other schools in the conference. Yeah. They'll play Friday through Sunday in those other sports. If it's baseball or softball, in this case, BYU just so happened, they play Thursday through Saturday. And like you mentioned, it actually does open up a potential TV window where they can play that Thursday game and be the only team in the conference that's playing that day.
So the way I understand this, is that they're joining in 2023.
Correct.
Very interesting, right? The fact that it's 2023. The AAC schools are going to join no later than July 1, 2024. Mm-hmm. So this creates a whole set of interesting questions, right? Will those AAC teams get there earlier on? Would BYU just make that jump in 2023 and just sit, you know, be in the conference for an extra year? Or would they, you know, I don't know when their TV deal runs out with ESPN. Could they tack on a year or whatever it is? What's their deal like with ESPN, and what does it preclude them / allow them to do?
So they actually signed a new deal, and this went into effect last year. That actually had them tied with ESPN through the 2025 season in football. So I'm guessing that the negotiations with ESPN, with the Big 12, all that may still be ongoing to kind of figure out how to fold in that BYU deal with the current Big 12 contract. I don't necessarily have all the particulars on that, but BYU, they're going to be able to move whenever. And I don't think ESPN is going to put any stink up about when they move in. I think the one thing that'll be interesting, as you mentioned, is the fact that these American schools, the three that are coming in, they have that 27-month notice, the leave notice, whatever you want to call it. But according to Mike Oresko, they're going to be willing to negotiate an earlier exit for these three schools. And it may be in the best interest of the American to allow them to leave earlier, so that way the American can move on with whatever it ultimately is going to do. So it's my personal opinion that BYU going into 2023, they will not be the only one. I think all four schools will go in that year.
I want to put a pin in that really quickly. We're going to hear I'll do a word from our sponsors and get right back to that point. But on today's show, Jake, Prize Picks. Mm-hmm. This is fantastic. I'm not sure if you've seen these. Is it fun to use? Individual props for individual games. You don't get those at FanDuel. You don't get those at DraftKings, at those places like that, or even sometimes with our friends at BetOnline. You can ask them for it, but they don't have them readily available. Prize Picks, that's what it is. You want over-unders on yards, touchdowns, interceptions, anything you want, they've got there at Prize Picks. You can check them out. Download the app today. They will match your first $100 deposit as well. And also, you can find, we're going to get some special deals from Locked On in there as well. So Locked On is going to find some particular props that we can give you all as you guys sign up and do it. It's Daily Fantasy the way it should be. Go find them at Prize Picks. Also, today's show is brought to you by rockauto.com. Not going to sing the jingle, Jake. I'm not very good at it. But the folks know rockauto.com, best place to find all the parts you're going to need, thousands of parts, hundreds of manufacturers, online, other online business, 20 years, family-run business. Do not spend up to 30, 50, 100% more for a part you can find at rockauto.com. Don't go to the chain store. Don't go to the dealership. rockauto.com, they've got you. Whether it's tail lamps, carpets, new radio, whatever it is you need, they've got rockauto.com. Make sure you put Locked On in their How Did You Hear Us box. That way they know we sent you. Amazing selection, always low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. That's rockauto.com. So let's get back to what you're talking about with Mike Oresko. It's really interesting he said that, because I think the buyout they would get there, the money basically, would mm-hmm. be kind of a financial padding for them, right? As they kind of look forward to the next contract. That would be some instant, that's an influx of cash. Mm-hmm. And I know the Sun Belt believes they might have an idea here, maybe a chance to grow. The AAC to me is still the big conference, because Mike Oresko has the voice, really. He has been, and I think it's credit to him, he's really been the voice of the G5. Like, when you think about who has been the voice of the Group of Five, Mike Oresko does a ton of media. He is always out there talking, promoting, trying to sell the teams in the AAC. And not, it ends up not just being the AAC, but it's kind of the G5 at large. But really, this is kind of, I think, put them in a good spot. Like, I think they're going to be looking to poach. What direction do you think they might go in?
Well, that's the interesting part about this, is because the American, as you mentioned, has been kind of the preeminent G5 conference. And you mentioned the fact that Mike Oresko has made himself essentially the voice of the Group of Five. And he's been unabashed in saying that, well, we know we're the power six.
Yes.
We get it. And you want to be a true power conference. I am interested which direction they will go, because yes, they could go and pick off teams from the Sun Belt and from Conference USA potentially, and keep themselves kind of Eastern South, I guess what you'd call it, a kind of a Southeastern type of a flavor to that. But there is some part of me that wonders if they might look west, if they might look towards the Mountain West and see if they could pick off an Air Force, a Colorado State, a Boise State would kind of be the coup right there, is to get the Broncos if you can get them. That is interesting to me, just as a guy who's based out here in Utah. We're in Mountain West territory. Utah State is a proud member of the Mountain West Conference out here, and BYU and Utah were founding members of that conference when it was built in 1999. So I think that the interesting thing is, which way does the American look to go? Do they want to go west? Do they want to build a Western branch of that conference? Well, you're going to run into some interesting things with Craig Thompson, but I also think you could go and pick off some teams in the Sun Belt or the Conference USA and keep yourselves kind of that. I don't even know how to call it. It's kind of just a more of an Eastern or Southeastern type of a flavor to that conference right now.
Right. Did you see the Mountain West statement the other day where it was like they basically said, we are assessing our options?
Okay, so here's the thing, and let me insert something here, because I've been around the Mountain West my entire life. Mm-hmm. I remember when that conference was founded. Craig Thompson is not to be a guy to count out of anything. Mm-hmm. BYU, I don't know how many people know this story of your listeners, but let me pull back the curtain a little bit on BYU and how they went independent. Their original plan, they actually had plans that they were going to move their football independent. All of their sports were actually going to go into the Western Athletic Conference outside of football. So men's, women's basketball, all that was going back to the WAC. At the time, the WAC was still very much a viable football conference. They had programs in there like Fresno State, like Nevada, and BYU had a plan to have what they called a scheduling alliance with that conference, which would, and I don't remember the exact number of games. Craig Thompson caught wind of this, immediately called up, I believe it was Fresno, Nevada, and one other school. I apologize, I don't remember who the third school was, said, hey, we want to invite you to the Mountain West. And they essentially turned face, joined the Mountain West, and scuttled the deal that
BYU Boise had. Maybe was it potentially Boise that joined?
Maybe it was. I wonder if Boise had already moved over at that point. I'm not 100% certain on that.
Craig Thompson, very savvy.
Oh, he is savvy, and he is a guy that if he catches wind of something that's going on, he's going to do everything within his power to make sure that he solidifies what he's got going on. So it's something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, the dominoes falling everywhere. I think the next thing that you and I should touch on is how should we break up this conference? Let's just say that I know there's so much talk about, hey, will Texas and Oklahoma be there for a year? To be honest, I don't think the Big 12 is going to let them go, and I don't know if they have the cash to bounce. The only way I could see I know they've got a lot of money, but the only way I could see it is if they paid that buyout, and then the SEC did some type of restructuring to where they gave Texas and Oklahoma more of the money until they were able to help pay off that fee in a way. I'm sure they could find. And also, they're going to make all that money up in the back end, right? I mean, I know it's a ton of money, but they're going to make all that money up in the back end. But all that aside, when we do have the actual 12 teams, it looks like we're going to have in the Big 12 conference. How would you like to see it divided up? North, south, east, west? I think to me right now, it's just my opinion, they should go with the four, let's see, it's four Texas schools, right? Texas Tech, Baylor, TCU, and I'm forgetting somebody. Who am I leaving out? Houston. Yes, Houston. Yeah. Sorry, Houston fans. BYU and then Oklahoma State. That's the way I would go.
Okay.
So you can keep the two Kansas schools together. Mm-hmm. You can add Iowa State, obviously UCF, and then Cincinnati and West Virginia have to be partners. They just have to be, because that's a big reason why they added Cincinnati into this conference was to give West Virginia a partner. Their travel schedule is awful. They need somebody nearby, so they would keep that. How would you want to break it up? How do you want it done?
You've got to go east-west. I don't see any other way to do it, because if you went north-south, you've got BYU and West Virginia in the same division if you just look at it. So that's going to make travel just even worse, it feels like. I think it's got to go east-west. And honestly, this is just me, Josh. I get why you go divisions. If it were up to me, and if I were Bob Bowlesby and I was made Big 12 commissioner for a day, I'd actually say we're playing no divisions. We're just going to schedule straight up, and we're going to take the top two teams to play in a Big 12 championship game. That's how I would prefer to do it. But I also understand, just for the travel nature of the other sports outside of football and men's basketball charters by and large as well, I think that the other sports, you do need to go east-west. And I actually really like that idea of you keeping Oklahoma State with the Texas schools and then BYU right there, because Mike Gundy has made it very clear that he plans to continue to mine the state of Texas for athletes. And obviously he wants to stay in that division if at all possible.
Yeah. And I know West Virginia would love having they in their heyday, West Virginia always recruited Florida phenomenally. Yep. Yeah, I think they're very glad to have UCF there. I think they're very glad to get some FaceTime in Florida. I think all of the teams are very glad to get some FaceTime in Florida. I think also that the incoming teams, save Houston, are also very glad to get some FaceTime in Texas as well, right? That's such fertile recruiting ground for, every school in the country, it feels like, goes into Texas because there's so many kids.
There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. The issue I push back on 12 is because would you do a 10-game conference schedule, a 9-game conference schedule?
That's the thing right there is I get why it'd be tough to do that because of it. It's my opinion. They're going to go divisions. We already had the lid by Tom Homo. So I want to see 8 games. And why I say that is because I want to see the 5 obviously intra division games. So, and then I think you do 3 crossover with the opposite division every year. And if you want to do like a 2 or 3 year kind of turnover on that, great, you can do that. I just, if all of these conferences, because the SEC has talked about the fact that they would like to go to maybe 9 or 10 conference games, just kind of keep it in the conference. If that's the case, the Big 12 could be on the forefront of doing that. I know that having that many games, you're going to miss out on an opponent or two, but you can obviously turn that over every year and make sure you have regular visits if you're BYU or another school to get down to UCF and have that FaceTime. Right. Florida. So
yeah, I just think you'd run into a situation where people might be like, we missed out on that playing Kansas. Right.
We made us play Oklahoma State. They got Kansas. What are you talking about here?
Exactly. But no, I do like, and here's the, you know, what's weird about this. I like 9 conference games. I don't like any more than that because a couple of reasons. Number one, I really do think it's important. Those pay games, because I like it when the small schools like South Carolina State play Clemson this week. That's important to me. I think it's because those games pay for those schools' programs. And like I talked about, I know it's a free win or whatever, but like I talked about, if you're a fan of South Carolina State, it matters. You know, it matters to you. Your football, it matters. Texas Southern played Baylor this week. That matters, right? So it's good. I like the bye games. And number two, the crossover games drive so much money, right? The Michigan and Washington, the Ohio State and Oregon, those games generate so much money that teams are still going to schedule them. They're still going to get scheduled 110% sure, no matter what. So that's why I'm fine with it. If you wanted to say, hey, 10 conference games, that's, you know, I'm kind of fine with that. I actually wouldn't.
You have one bye game, and then you'd have one like kind of major crossover game. I get that.
Yeah. What are the fans most excited about? Like, I guess, is it traveling? Is it the opportunity to stack the football up against, you know, a lot of teams in a good conference? What is the thing that BYU fans are most looking forward to with this move?
I think the biggest thing is they want that P5 moniker next to their name. They have seen Utah's recruiting upgraded.
Right.
Simply due to the fact that they are Power 5, and they've seen it for the past decade. Utah has very much upgraded their talent base because they have that Power 5 moniker next to Utah there. There have been players, and I've talked to them, who've said, I like BYU. Trust me, it's great, all this stuff. But the one thing I've always wanted to do is to play in the Power 5. Now BYU has that in their back pocket when they go out and recruiting. And I think that's what BYU fans are looking forward to, is hopefully seeing the same type of incremental step up in talent year in and year out that Utah experienced over the past decade. BYU fans, they expect to do the same thing.
Yeah, and I know recruiting is so concentrated, but you know, I think the one thing we realize now is that, especially this is really true in basketball, and I hope it becomes more true in football, but when you get those 3 and 4 star kids, the really quality ones, you know, those kids from California and Texas, I hope they pick schools like BYU, because the thing is, and we see Zach Wilson's a great example. If you're good, you are going to get discovered. You are not going to slip through the cracks. A BYU quarterback last year went number 2 overall in the draft. And I know some people said he was number 1, you know, I'm not sure I agree with that, but still went number 2. And so that stuff, like, you're going to be found now. You can get on to, you know, Carson Strong from Nevada. I mean, this is not a situation where people are talking about Carson Strong at the end of the year. Everybody's been talking about Carson Strong from the beginning of the year, right? Josh Allen, one of those cases too.
Yeah.
But I think this is great because, you know, this just helps. You're not afraid of not being seen. And like you talked about, that Power 5 advantage. I know that the monikers are so stupid and they're dumb, because like Cincinnati would beat everybody's ass in the Big 12 right now. And that's probably true. That's probably true in the Pac-12 as well, right? A lot of teams in the Pac-12 wouldn't beat Cincinnati.
No,
it does matter. It really does matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's, so I think that BYU fans, they just kind of want to be part of the Power 5. They want to be part. They're in the club. That's what the fact that we finally made it in, they want to see that upgraded. And BYU's punched above their weight in many respects for many, many years now, doing what they do. The other thing I think about this, and there's just one other thing, and it's not necessarily a huge deal, but I think BYU fans expect to see an upgrade in terms of overall investment in facilities, coaches, all of that stuff. BYU traditionally has always paid under market rate for coaches. It's something that essentially feels like almost a point of pride for them. I don't think they're necessarily going to immediately be paying Kalani Sitake, whoever the head coach of the football program is, $6 or $7 million. But there is an expectation that obviously with added money coming into the coffers, that they will upgrade facilities. They'll upgrade the coaching salaries to make them more competitive, so that way they're not having coaches picked off potentially.
One more thing before we get out of here. How good was it this weekend? How'd that feel? Because that was no team had ever won 10 straight Holy Wars, correct? I think that was the number.
There have been 4 streaks of 9 straight wins in the series history, 3 of them belonging to Utah, 1 of them belonging to BYU, but nobody has gotten to double digits. And I can tell you this much, BYU fans, they were absolutely ecstatic that they did not see that 10th straight loss happen. Sellout crowd, the first sellout actually at Lavelle Edwards Stadium since 2017 was on hand. And
it's a big stadium, man.
It is.
I think it's got the largest capacity now. If you factor in the Big 12, it'd be the largest capacity stadium.
Well, that's the thing about it. I think a lot of people who are members of the Big 12 currently, or the other schools that are joining the Big 12, when they make their first trip to Provo, there's 2 things that you're going to be stunned by. The fact that it literally sits at the foot of the mountains. They are right there behind the stadium. It's one of the best backdrops in all of college football. And then number 2, you're going to be stunned at just the sheer size of this stadium. 63,470 is the capacity of Lavelle Edwards Stadium. It was packed to the gills on Saturday night, and BYU fans, they were having the time of their lives as they watched the Cougars take down the Utes.
That was my bonus pick last week. One of your, I think one of your listeners requested I make a bonus pick, so I gave him BYU plus seven, which ended up hitting it. Yeah, I'm with you. It's a great venue. That baseball stadium. I know Stephen Simcox of Locked On Horned Frogs tweeted about it. He was like, and he covers baseball so well, but that's a gorgeous stadium. I mean, that's the foot of the mountains. I mean, you're hitting home runs. Looks like under the foot of a mountain, actually. So
that football stadium literally sits just across the street from Lavelle Edwards Stadium. There's a road that kind of bisects between the two of them. That stadium, the baseball stadium, Larry H. Miller, who owned the Utah Jazz for many, many years, huge softball and baseball supporter. He and his wife, Gail Miller, actually helped fund the rebuild of those two parks. So now it's Larry H. Miller Baseball Park and then Gail Miller Softball Park. They sit back to back. The baseball stadium was designed with the mountains and that backdrop sitting right there, if you're a fan watching it there,
gorgeous.
At Larry H. Miller Ballpark. So it's a really, really cool setting. And I think, folks, when you get out here, everything you think that Denver is, Utah actually is. Let's put it that way.
it's Denver without all the corporate crap, right? All the bells and whistles. Yeah, no.
There are people that think that Denver, like the skiing's like 30 minutes away from Denver. No, it's more like an hour and a half away from Denver. Here in Utah, from my home where I live in Utah County, I live about 20 miles away from BYU, the campus. I could be up on the slope skiing in literally 30 minutes. It's that close.
I think a lot of fans are going to be saying heck yes to that kind of trip. Jake, there is your Twitter. It's at Jacob C. Hatched. Once again, though, where else can people find you and all of your work? And it's Brian.
Yeah, just follow Locked On Cougars. We're on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Just Locked On Cougars. And, of course, all the various podcast platforms. Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google. You know it. You can find it. Just search out Locked On Cougars.
Hey, this was fun, Jake. I can't wait till you guys are in the conference officially and we can, do this more often.
We will do it. I look forward to it as well.